Homemaker Chic, where we are rescuing the art of homemaking. Shay is rocking out.
I am.
I'm video
dancing.
Here.
I'm dancing.
We hear the song in our heads. I know you guys love the song as much as we do. We are rescuing the art of homemaker from the oh-so-daily grind with massive amounts of red lips and absolutely no denim jumpers. I am your host, Angela Reed of Parisian Farm Girl, and I'm here with the fellow dancing queen, Shay Elliott of the Elliott Homestead.
Also,
today,
there was confusion about the denim jumper.
Oh.
Our dear British friends, apparently jumper means sweater
to
you.
True, jumper is sweater.
That is not what we're talking about.
Is that the one that Googled it? And she's like, okay, that's not what we're talking about.
That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the American jumper. Anyway, go on.
Anyway. Carry on, Angela. So that is so true. So we have a huge British audience, and we love you. We love you. So, and yes, true. And I only know that because from Bridget Jones, when Mark Darcy is wearing the Rudolph jumper at the Christmas curry buffet.
Yes.
I remember that.
Yes.
But no, we are talking about like homeschool marm, straight up white turtleneck, shapeless,
yes,
big pockets in the front,
Google
denim jumpers.
90s
Do not
denim
tell me
jumper.
You've seen them on the spring runways. No, you haven't. That is not what we're talking about. And we are not wearing them.
We are not wearing them.
I might
them.
Have pajama bottoms on with this blouse, but I am not wearing a denim jumper.
How chic of you.
Très chic.
Homemaker chic, in fact.
For the record.
That's right. Today's episode of Homemaker Chic is brought to you by the one and the only fabulous jovialfoods.com. We've talked about them before. We love them. We love them. We love them. And there are many things that we love about them. You could love their einkorn, either berries or whole grain einkorn flour or all-purpose einkorn flour, which is really has a very weak gluten and a really high protein. It tastes like butter when you bake with it. It is so incredibly wonderful that even people who have gluten intolerances can tolerate this heirloom grain. It's one of the oldest grains known to man. So, so delicious. But on top of that, Jovial also makes literally voted, okay, world's best gluten-free pasta. So if you are not on the gluten train, make sure you check out their 100% brown rice pastas, because these are not like any other gluten-free pastas I have ever had. I'm not even gluten-free. None of us are in my house. But we still eat this pasta because it is that good. You top that off with the canned tomatoes, which I always keep a stock of, the crushed tomatoes, the whole tomatoes, the diced tomatoes, any of their beans. The olive oil. Good God. The olive oil. That is a pantry necessity for all of you. Make sure you check them out at jovialfoods.com. I promise you, if you bake for food and for flavor and for deliciousness, you will not be disappointed.
So a well-stocked pantry with Jovial.
Yes.
And a well-dressed bed.
Ooh,
with
la
American
la.
Blossom linens. Here's me again.
Oh.
Yay. I love them.
American
Blossom Linens is an all-American company. It's 115 years old. We're talking about Texas homegrown organic cotton. No dyes, no importation from the other side of the world. Female owned, female operated. Friends, this is not a luxury. This is your sleep. This is where you're going to spend, I don't know, close to half of your life in your bed. So we need to prioritize our sleep. And I cannot say enough about my American Blossom linen sheets. And I know you are going to love them as much as Shay and I do. So You know what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you to grab a pencil, grab a pen, grab a feather and some ink and
yes,
write down.
Do that, good lady.
Do that, good lady. Write down Homemaker Chic 20 because American Blossom Linens has been extremely generous with us and they want to offer our listeners 20% off. So they've seen you respond, but some of you aren't using the code. So go ahead and use that code, homemakerchic20, and get 20% off your beautiful, organic, homegrown cotton, modern, vintage sheets. All of my thrifters, all of my antiquers, these sheets feel, you know what I'm going to say, like they the do. Random pillowcase you find at an estate sale.
I'm tired. I want to go to bed. Shay, you're talking about all this. That's making me sleepy.
It's Blursday.
No, all is it? The days, oh, yes, it is.
They just blur into one another. So that's a joke in our house. It's Blursday in Mapruary.
That's what it feels like. That's very much what it feels like. Amen to that. I don't know
if I'm coming or going.
That's right. Well, we love our sponsors, American Blossom Linens, Jovial Foods. We are so happy to have you as Homemaker Chic sponsors.
And drum roll.
What are you sipping?
Well,
is that why the drum roll is here?
Yeah, because we're pretty excited to announce to you. You know, Shay and I, like, it's no shame. We love our wine. We love our dry farms.
I literally have zero shame about that.
I have no shame.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Red lipstick, red wine.
Yep.
All the reds.
Give it to me.
So this portion of the show that I know you all look forward to is now brought to you by Dry Farm Wines.
Yes.
Shay, what are you sipping?
Yes. So I have been a Dry Farms customer for the last 3 years. And what they do is they send me wine every month and I love it. So all the wines that I've mentioned thus far on the podcast are they're all from Dry Farms because I'm a very faithful person. And today I am drinking a cava from Cava. Paris Balta. So P-A-R-E-S. B-A-L-T-A, and it's a Brut. It's a sparkling wine from Spain. Mm. And here's what I love.
Barcelona.
So, Barcelona. I get the mixed box from Dry Farm. So it's 6 reds and 6 whites every month. But then every 2 months, I have them send me 3 bottles of sparkling wine. So sometimes it's champagne. Sometimes it's just a sparkling wine from somewhere else. So this, okay, let's take a step back here.
Let's do.
Okay. Sparkling wine is what we think of as champagne, okay? But champagne can only be called champagne if it comes from the Champagne region of France, okay? So I always compared this to Kobe beef. So Kobe beef, everybody's kind of heard of that now. It's kind of really popular. It's an incredibly marbled beef. Maybe not everybody's heard of it, but, you know, I was an animal science major, so what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. It can only be called Kobe beef if it's from Kobe, Japan. But the actual breed of cattle used is Wagyu. So you can think about that from now on. So if somebody's growing Kobe beef in Kansas, you can call them a big fat liar and hit them over the head with an empty bottle of your sparkling wine from Spain. But this one it's very delicious. It's making my mouth pucker like a Starburst or a Jolly Rancher would. Super fruity, super full, but what I love about Dry Farms and why I am their customer is because there's no additives, there's no sugars, there's no nothing like that. These are like teeny tiny little batch family farms, wines you would never see on the shelves anywhere in America. But they come from all over. They can come from Spain or from France or from Italy or South Africa or, you know, all these beautiful places. But incredible, clean wines that don't make you feel terrible.
Have you ever read all the articles, like their whole website, top to bottom?
It's fabulous.
It's fabulous.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about like Toups & Co., our makeup sponsor that's worked with us. And we're always looking for clean.
Truly.
And the garbage in wine is frightening. Mm-hmm. And one evening spent reading their website, like it's a done deal. You're a new customer.
It's true. So this is kind of an odd story, but there was an article written about us a few years ago in The Atlantic. That's a different story. But the reporter who wrote, I know, right?
It's a touchy subject.
It is a touchy subject.
I saw the look on your face.
I'm sorry. I tried
really,
to hide
we're gonna
it.
Talk about that.
Well, no, but it goes into what I was going to say.
Okay, take it.
The reporter who wrote that article flew in from New York and spent about 14 hours here with us on our farm that day. And when she left, she gave me a copy of her book that she had written called Cork Dork. And I read it. She's an incredible writer. But
to her credit.
To her credit, she is a great writer. And she was very pleasant to be around. But when I read that book, I was truly, like, this was when I actually started doing Dry Farm, because I was so shocked at the things that she reveals in that book that they can actually legally put in wine. Things you wouldn't even imagine. And that's how they get that homogenous, consistent flavor over and over and over and over again. Because every farmer knows each year it's a different crop. And it's not going to taste the exact same from year to year to year. Mm-hmm. But when you market, you know, a Yellowtail Cabernet Sauvignon or whatever, people have an expectation of what that's going to taste like. If the vintage doesn't match that, they just beef it up with like an incredible amount of stuff that I don't want in my body. So that was when I was like, okay, if this is true, then where am I going to go to get, because they don't have to label that stuff on the wine. Mm-hmm. And also, why do I feel like I got hit by a Mack truck? Like, I know we joke about, you know, drinking wine and enjoying wine, but truth be told, you guys, I have like a glass. I am I'm all talk and no action, okay? But even a glass of bad wine can make you feel really terrible, truly. And it's kind of been fun, actually, over the last couple of years to see how my palate has completely changed because of these wines. They're so clean. And like I've said before, they're not thin, but they're clean. I don't know how else to say it. Anyway, make sure you check out the Dry Farm links in the show notes of this podcast, because this is a company that we just both desperately love that's going to make your life better, because you're going to be drinking a lot better wine. True that. Okay, my dear friend, tell me how your cow is doing. She's settling in okay?
Elle est belle. Hmm. Elle est si belle. Yes, she is merveilleux. And oh my heaven. I love her. It's ridiculous. I am out there all the time. This morning I went out with a cup of coffee and she was laying in the barn. And she just let me lean up against her. Hmm. It's like the scene in Jurassic Park where the one guy, the original Jurassic Park, where he goes up to the Triceratops and he just like listens to it breathing. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is me and my cow. Mm-hmm. I think she loves me. She gets up and comes to the gate when I come to it. And I sing songs to her and I speak French to her. Her name, as I mentioned last week, is Thaloy Fern Andine. I know that's a bizarre name, but it's a registered name from my grandparents, from their first Holstein. And so I've decided that Andine is much easier to say in French than Fern. So I call her Andine when I like come to her, because I'm like singing. I'm like channeling my inner Yona Yinton. I'm mm-hmm. clooning. I'm like trying to get mm-hmm. her to come to me when I sing. It's really pathetic. It's like all straight up storybook. I should just have like on a smock and a linen skirt and a daisy denim jumper. Petals that I should like frolic, toss in the air as I walk back to the barn. Yes. It's just,
are you wearing a flower wreath when you do this over your head?
Yeah, it's just all sorts of like bucolic crazy out there right now.
Yeah.
And then yesterday morning, she was a little fizzy. She was just a little like, neat. Mm-hmm. And I just kept saying, what's up, girlfriend? And I was just visiting with her. And then I realized that the you next door hadn't come out to greet me. So then her name is Agnes, because my sheep are all Celtic names. Mais bien sûr. Of course. And I'm Agnes, Agnes. I'm calling her. And I'm like, oh, you're in labor, aren't you? Mm. So I go out there and I go back in her area and she's just like staring off into space like they do.
Yep.
She wouldn't look at me. Yeah. She's just like, nah.
Yep. You don't exist.
You don't exist. So I'm like, well, that's why the cow is all fritzy. Mm-hmm. And came out 45 minutes later. Sweet little lamb came out 2 hours later. Two more little lambs. So we had triplets yesterday.
Oh that's so exciting.
It is. We have like as a family, we have all the feels.
Yeah.
We are like, wow, this
we're
garden
doing this.
We're doing this. This is so happening.
Like, yeah.
Clearing land. We planted like four more fruit trees. We got lambs. We got fern. it. Mm-hmm. I don't even know. It's just a lot. It's overwhelming.
It is.
It's humbling. It's humbling and completely exhilarating at the same time.
Yeah. Can I tell you what I'm kind of feeling of what your story makes me feel?
Sure.
So with all that's going on with COVID and especially mm-hmm. this last week, as we're sort of hearing about really the bottlenecking of these supply chains, it's not that it's not like in the potato famine in Ireland where there wasn't enough food. We have the food, but we don't have the means to bring it to the people. That's where things are breaking down. And I feel this intense gratitude for our farm and for the dairy cow and for the meat sheep and the ducks and the chickens and like the gardens, all this blah, blah. But mm-hmm. I also feel this like stupid homesteader guilt of like, we're okay here when I know so many people aren't okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm worried about even what that's going to look like as this continues to go on. But then on the third hand, I'm like,
right, exactly.
When everybody else mm-hmm. is, you know, having pancakes and going boating on Saturday mornings during the summer, and I'm like sweating my face off in my garden, you know, like it's not like we haven't worked for it. It's just a specific choice that we've made. And not everyone even knew that that was a choice that they needed to make. But like I'm feeling very emotionally.
Well, I think it's tumultuous. Just an extension. Yeah, I think I think from day one, 7 weeks ago, or good gracious,
who knows? Whatever it's been, I don't even know what year it is.
I don't even know. It's Blur's Day. Everybody that I have talked to, spoken with, has said, I don't really know how to feel. I feel one way, and then literally 30 seconds, I can feel another way, because we're all pretty savvy enough to not trust everything we hear and see. And so you're kind of left to take everything through your personal sieve and your own discretion. And then you're just left to grapple with your feelings. And I just think for the homesteader, I mean, I do see what you're saying. I mean, I did have my moment where like, hey, yo, remember the last decade where you were watching The Bachelor? You know what I was doing? I was watching videos on how to butcher a pig.
Yeah.
Before I even had a chance of owning a pig. And that is not... And from a curiosity standpoint, not from like a self-righteous, I just was like, that's where I was. I had a ferocious appetite to learn new things, but I was also watching the culture and a whole lot of time being wasted. And I'm mm-hmm. not like a conspiracy theorist, I just thought, you know, in the grand scheme of things, this was a skill set. These were skill sets that were needed. And I'm pretty sure in the next 75 years, they're going to be needed again. So even if I don't need them or my children don't need them, my grandchildren might need them. And so if I make this decision to bring them on and kind of make it part of our education and part of our lifestyle, as inconvenient, quite frankly, as it is, it might benefit someone down mm-hmm. the way, because mm-hmm. we're always thinking of our lineage and our, you know, future. And so those were just decisions that we made. And now I'm just feeling like I saw this hysterical meme. Some of the memes are really funny.
Epic.
I'm pretty burned out on a lot of them, but some of them are so funny. It was just like this very 40s drawing of a woman reaching to her pantry shelf. And she's, and here's Mary reaching for a jar of I Told You So.
Yep.
You know?
I know.
It made me laugh.
No, but what you're saying
is
so
true. There's this weird, and like, I just think we're too early into this mm-hmm. to know everything. Mm-hmm. So take everything I say with like a giant salt lick. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. But like, I forgot what I was going to say. Well, I was so caught up on how witty the salt lick aspect was. Like,
tempering what I'm going to say. I think it's true in that, you know, our human existence is very gilded. We have got IMAX and we've got,
we're special.
Televisions
so special.
And Suburbans. Yeah. And look at us. Mm-hmm. And we focus on soccer practice and, you know, all these kinds of things. The reality is you're a human who needs food and shelter. Okay?
Yeah.
And everybody who's been through a natural disaster, you need food and shelter. Mm-hmm. All of this is the guild. And it's great. And, you know, it is a blessing.
It's some beautiful kindling.
It is some beautiful kindling.
I love my purses.
That's right.
I love my bags.
It's kindling. And one day it will be ashes.
Sam Edelman loafers.
Yes.
But I can't eat them.
Exactly. You can't eat
now,
them.
Now, on the contrary, Columbus's sailors ate the leather off the side of the ship.
Okay,
so I guess if push really came to shove, I could eat my Sam Edelman loafers, but I don't plan on it.
Yes. The point is simply, you know, I think it's good to be reminded that we're human. And I love this story. My pastor told me years ago. I think about it all the time. He was going to Nepal with a friend of his who had been many times. He had never been before. And he gets on the airplane and he's like, oh, he's feeling really anxious, a little fearful, really not sure what's in store for him in Nepal. And this gentleman who he was going with, who had gone many times, just said, you know, Gene, if you go, when you sit down on that plane in Seattle and you let go, you're willing to let go of all of your creaturely comforts, you will have an incredible experience. But if you try to hold on to those, you're going to hate it. You're going to hate the experience. And I've always clung to that because I think the word creaturely comforts is such a perfect word for it. So we talked about this a couple episodes ago where, you know, Sam Edelman loafers, that is a creaturely comfort. That's something that you enjoy. That's something that brings you joy. There is nothing wrong with that. Right. I have my 10 a.m. latte. It brings me joy. I love it. But it is a creaturely comfort. And it's helpful to sort of, I think, kick things into those categories. Like, is what I'm, and here's the interesting thing is that's what we get mad about. That's what we're mad about with COVID. It is my creaturely comfort to sit with people and have dinner with them. It is like my creaturely comfort to be able to go into Costco without a mask or, you know, name it, go into Starbucks, have my time, go to a restaurant with my spouse. Those are beautiful, good things, and there ain't nothing wrong with them. But they are a creaturely comfort. And at the end of the day, those are extremely fragile things to vest your interest in. There is nothing guaranteed about those. Those come and go like the breeze. So I think it's interesting, you know, when you're talking about these homesteading skills and passing them down, I mean, in essence, that is a food and shelter aspect of our humanness.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. Because I've had a glass of brut, so I don't really know.
You know, I have, you know, an almost 15-year-old who's coming to me saying, oh, maybe you weren't so crazy after all, you know, wanting us to know how to do X, Y, Z.
Victory.
I don't know. You know, and I just think from, I don't know. I mean, again, I don't know the future, but I've experienced some extreme and financial devastation from high to low. And I know you've had a low. And I feel like at this stage in the game, I'd like to just keep my mouth shut and ride it out because I've hit rock bottom. I know that feeling. And so I'm just going to carry on. Nothing is guaranteed. I'm just going to keep plowing ahead.
Right.
Yeah, it's.
Yes.
That's not taking away. I mean, when we had our problems, there were people, I suppose there were people worse off than us, like in our sphere of influence. But I think we were the worst. So, you know, when you would watch the stories on the news about the recession and the economic, you know, like, we were the statistic for sure. And it got to the point where I really pulled in from friends because they literally didn't know what we were going through. And I feel a little bit awkward being on the other side of that right now. And I just think, like, again, that's a creaturely comfort. Again, nothing is guaranteed. We're just going to all ride this out. And it's not the same for everyone. And everybody's response isn't going to be the same. But I am really fascinated by the sort of self-sufficiency response. I see a lot of people that I would normally have said, well, that would really stress me out. I would like to have chickens, but I can't add one more thing to my plate. I'd love to have a garden, but I don't think I have time to tend it. tend it. They are coming through the woodwork.
Well, yeah, because now they don't have PTA meetings and Zumba. Not that there's anything wrong with those. Like, don't email
me. They're ordering the apple trees. Right. They're ordering the chicks. Right. They're starting the seeds. Like, people I never, in my sphere of influence, right, I never thought would do XYZ.
Because people need food.
Yeah. Shay, I read an article about them, like,
dispatching the pigs,
just getting rid of them. It made me so, I have a lot of feelings that I know are probably not appropriate for this podcast. It made me very angry.
No, I was just actually thinking that same thing. Like, okay, listeners, let's just go to a different level here. We're saying these things and they're true and we believe them. But what you don't see right now is me calling Angela this morning raging. Like, mm-hmm. Well, and then you called me an hour later raging.
Oh,
truly,
man.
Raging because of the stress of this. The fatigue we feel for our country and for our cities and for our community and for people who are being so stupid. I'll say it. I'm sorry. It's true. And frankly, what I want right now is I want people to fight back. That's what I want. And that's just my personal belief. I know not everybody's going to hold to that. But
right.
I went to the hospital a couple of days ago to visit a friend of mine in Seattle, which is really ground zero. And it truly was like being in North Korea. I was shocked at the aroma of the community. And that's just not something I'm down with. Homie, don't play like that. I'm sorry.
I know. Okay. I'm going to pick up with this whole the animal bit because, you know, and again, it's homemaker chic, whether you think keeping pigs is chic or not, this is the path we're going to go down for a moment. Because you know what is chic? Crispy fries with herbs from your garden.
Ooh, fried and lard.
Exactly. So that's chic. But
I'm going to make that for dinner tonight. That sounds so good.
Doesn't it?
Oh, Lord have mercy.
So I just read about them getting rid of pigs. And let's just start with all the homesteady, homeschool families across the country who would kill to get their hands on a pig.
They
right
can't
now.
Legally sell them to them because they're under contract and they're
I don't want to hear that.
They're
Shay.
Not allowed to sell to private people, individuals.
Yeah, I'm not interested in that. I mean, this is where I'm like ask for forgiveness later.
Because that's what I'm saying. People have to fight back.
Yeah, I watched a documentary years ago about raw milk. Okay, I know there's two sides of the story to raw milk. I love me some raw milk. And it was showed this like FBI raid where the FBI showed up and like made everybody was picking up their share, right? And they made them dump it out. And I'm like, oh, bleep, no. I would be guzzling that milk. Like, go ahead and suck it out of my stomach. Yes! I am not dumping this milk on the ground.
That is called righteous anger. Righteous
indignation.
Anger. That's right.
I would chug that milk in front of an FB, in front of a SWAT team. Like, really? Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. I would drink it before I would dump it on the ground. That is disgusting. This is probably not the show. And if we just lost half the listeners, try us again in 3 weeks, okay? For the love. Just remember the red lips and the fashion and the wedgie jeans and the boobs and all the fun, okay? But I'm serious. Like, if we are that disconnected as a culture from
reality,
put some twigs over your head, make a fire and feed yourself, then forget it.
Yeah. No, it's I
understand.
Agree.
I make a living on the internet. If there's a whatever, what's that bomb, you know, in like spy movies where it's going to take out the whole grid and everything. If that happens, I'm screwed. Okay. I make a living on the internet. I'm still going to feed my family. Mm-hmm. I'm still going to dig up the ramps in the forest right now. Mm-hmm. And we're going to eat garlic and we're going to live. And
yep. Amen, sister.
Like, yeah. What did you say? Like, yeah, you. I'm in a plane crash with you. I'm going to bring you out of the Himalayas. Mm-hmm. That is just like,
oh yeah,
said with all humility.
Yeah. And if you take food out of my child's mouth, I will kill you.
Right.
That's just, that's just the way it is.
To see them take food out of the American public's mouth because of a contract.
It's just logistics. It's just logistics. It's not supply.
Acceptable.
I agree.
That's unacceptable. Google it. How to butcher a pig.
Yeah.
Everything will be like, you're going to eat. I can't handle it. I can't handle the, sorry, wrong show.
Okay. I agree. I know. So we,
but, you know, we're however many weeks into this. And so that's kind of the boiling point where you kind of can't keep the stuff from simmering over the top.
My mom came over. She called me today and she's been laid off because of this. She works for a dentist. Mm. And so she's just hanging out at home. So I said, hey, you want to come over for a latte? And she did. And you know, it's just different with your mom. At least it is with my mom. I'm just like, I call it verbal vomiting. Mm-hmm. Where I'm just like, hey, mom, you have to listen. By the end, I felt a lot better because it was like going to therapy. But just expressing that. If I go down. And if we go down, I am not going down. Hiding away with my tail between my legs. Let that be known. And I'm at that point personally. And I don't think that's necessarily maybe where America's at, but I'm at the point where, Carla actually of Jovial Foods, she posted on Facebook today and Italy's maybe getting ready to open it up to where you can take a walk outside your house.
Oh my heaven. I can't even.
And a friend of mine who lives in Spain, she's an expat there. Mm-hmm. They finally just, and mind you, it's been going there longer than it's been going on here. They finally just approved it where one child could walk with one parent outside of the house. And this is when I realized how American I am, because I'm just like, give me liberty or give me death. Like,
seriously, that doesn't even, I have no tolerance.
No.
This is where I feel like I'm a little bit like a man. Like, I've always, like, even with PMS, you know when you have PMS and you're like, I know I'm being irrational.
Oh.
I know I need to just go take a hot bath and go to bed, okay? I just lost all the feminists in our audience, by the way.
Sorry.
So, but I have no tolerance for irrationality. And as a woman, I got to tell you, I'm going to toot my own horn. I think maybe you would need to double check this with Joel. But I think that I finally got to a point where I've said, I cannot have this conversation right now because I am unstable. I'm going to bed. We can pick this up in the morning. And then all the feminists, the rest of them, any that were left, they are gone now. But you can't go for a walk with your kid. Mm-hmm. You're going to go back to your same cootie-filled house. Mm-hmm. It's just like the other day. You guys, I live nowhere. There's no one here. And I don't mean 1,200 people. I mean like tens of people. And I saw a woman walking down an empty street the other day along the lake. So you got like a breeze blowing with a mask on. And I guess maybe that's me being judgmental. Maybe she was about to walk into a business that's supposedly open. I don't know. But there... I don't get it.
It is truly a view that's held in non-reality. Truly.
I don't get it.
Because when my hairdresser who has a salon in her garage where she sees one customer at a time can't do my hair and I can go to Costco, it doesn't have to do with essential and non-essential. It has to do with the systematics of it. And it is truly a sledgehammer approach to a scalpel situation. And it's gross and it's impending. What's the word? It's, I can't think of it.
I don't know
it
where
ain't
you're going.
No good. Anyway, we need to talk about something positive. I hate this subject, but it's eating me from the inside out.
What drives me crazy is just all the disclaimers, like even in having this conversation, like I know people who have lost someone from COVID. I'm not discrediting any of that.
No.
I'm just saying, like, what does that, I almost said, here I almost said, what does that have to do with the price of tea in China? But that would probably be the wrong thing to say.
Yes, it would be. But here is the other vein of that. You know, I love Sweden's approach to this because they're really understanding how viruses work. Viruses are circulating all the time. They are you cannot get rid of them. Okay. That's not what happens with viruses. So Sweden's approach was, hey, if you're sick, you should stay home. If you're vulnerable, you should stay home and we're going to take care of you. We're going to make sure that you have what you need. Everybody else who's not at risk, y'all go about your normal time, get it through, pass it on, do what you need to do, you know, be obviously aware and cautious and responsible when it comes to people who are vulnerable. And you know what? It's working. And you know what? They didn't crash their economy. And you know what?
Yeah,
half the population hasn't turned into alcoholics.
Seriously. They're going to hit their peak soon, but they're also, from what I last read, they're about to hit, they could hit herd immunity in Stockholm very soon. Yeah. So it's just a completely
And now they don't have to
approach.
Live in fear of it for when it comes back. You know, it's like vomit. You have to get it out. It truly is.
You know, the last 12, 10, 5, 15 years of watching American Idol and The Bachelor, like we kind of like lost, some people have lost, like, I don't know, dare I say it, an element of common sense. There, I just lost.
I
How
know,
many listeners do we have? Karen.
There's
Karen,
Lacey
are you
and
there?
Karen. Those are the only
Lacey
two
and
listeners
Karen.
Left.
I just like there. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sorry. I'm from Chicago. I'm just going to tell you how it is.
That's so bad. This might be the worst episode we've ever done.
I think it's the best. If you guys think it's the best, please say something. And if you don't like it, just go listen to, like, I don't know, something else.
Oh, you guys, I'm so tired. I'm so stressed.
What was I saying?
I don't know.
I was going to say
something.
You said
I'm from Chicago. I'm going to tell you like it is.
But before that. Oh, I just think it's like for such a time as this. So you got this whole, you got like, it's the zombie apocalypse. Like, who's going to win American Idol? You know.
Yeah.
What's going to happen on Sex in the City this week? And I know that's old, but this is a good systemic 15, 17-year-old problem.
True.
And now everybody's being told what to do. And like, we're not even questioning it.
No,
we're just going to butcher the pigs and not go on a walk with our kids. Like, what?
How about we learn how to do something productive that hits on the core of what we need to do as humans, which is live. Like,
or, you know, just second guess, just pause for a minute.
No, I love the idea. I mean, in one way, like Stu said to me, like, you should be having a heyday. Like, don't you realize this is what you've been advocating for the last decade online? Like, screw your pork from the grocery store. Go find a local farmer. Go put money in their pocket. Go cut out the 12 people between you and that gigantic feedlot in Missouri. Like
that,
and you guys,
weird
I don't.
Little
okay, I'm sorry. You guys, I don't say this with no reference. Okay, I majored in animal science. I was trained in beef production, and right out of college, I went to work at a feedlot. I had to sign a non-disclaimer when I started working there, and I worked there for 6 months before I left because I could not stomach what was happening. The entire food system, I had to completely rethink it. And this was, gosh, how. This was like 14 years ago, probably. Mm-hmm. And I remember messaging one of my professors and I was like, this was after I'd graduated. And I was like, I think this like grass-fed local beef, like, I think this is going to become a serious thing. Like, I think this is something that you really need to start teaching on. This is where that this is going to go. And it was with, I mean, there's way too much to go into there, but all that experience that is why we grow our beef. And before we could grow it, we sourced it from local farmers. I mean, like Stu said, this is shaking the cage. You know, all of a sudden now, when the supply chain is cut off and you can't get your milk from Fred Meyer, where are you going to get it? What's your option? You're going to have to find somebody who's growing
it. Okay, so let's just give them an idea. Hop on Craigslist as soon as you're done with this.
Yeah.
Show.
Facebook. Yeah.
Craigslist. And find, there are
eat
pigs. People have it.
Yeah. Google. Come on.
Google. And then look for your milk. It'll say like for crafts or for livestock. Mm-hmm. Most Ours of the was time for they won't.
Pet consumption.
For pet consumption.
Yeah.
And if you're nervous about it, then go ahead and pasteurize it. Go ahead and, yeah. and
heat it up
do
on,
it
your,
on
stove.
Your stovetop.
Not a big deal.
But that's where you can get local milk. They're just not going to say like, ooh, free or, you know, yeah. raw organic milk, blah, blah, blah. They're going to call it for crafts. They're going to call it for pet consumption. Mm-hmm. Like friends, where there's a will, there is a way. Mm-hmm. This is the land of like amber waves of freaking grain.
It's true.
There is food for you.
It's true.
You just have to
when we
pick up.
When we lived
Let
on
your
a,
fingers do the walk in
a rental you know? House, we couldn't mm-hmm. have chickens. So the very first batch of meat chickens that we ever raised, we raised at somebody who I literally found on Google. It was a local farm. They grew microgreens and lettuces. And I was like, hey, do you have space? I really want to yeah. grow chickens. I'll give you 10 of them. I'm going to grow 50. Would you mm-hmm. let us use your farm? And he did. He had the space. We had the energy. We took care of everything. So it is that where there is a will, there is a way. And you know what?
How about all your like churches that are in the country?
Yeah.
Go to your pastor and say, look, can we till up the front lawn?
Start a community.
What can we do
start
here?
Start a community garden.
There's a carpenter in your church. Build a chicken coop.
Yeah.
Start a community
Feed
garden
your people.
Within your church.
That's a great yeah, idea. Like, feed your people.
Yeah.
I mean, it is so, it takes work, you guys. It takes work. But you know what? What is more important work than feeding your family? Nothing. Truly. Strip it all
and
away.
Parboil it, baby. I have to say, from a stress aspect, you know, a lot of people have a lot of extra time on their hands and they have way too much time for their brains. This is an excellent outlet. Mm-hmm. You guys, I am like a gardener. That is my happy mm-hmm. place. But perhaps your kids need something tactile mm-hmm. and nourishing and significant to do right now.
Yes.
Perhaps your husband does.
Yeah.
Perhaps you do. Like this is,
yeah.
there are, I'm not, you guys know, I'm always trying to say like, it's never my intention to be dogmatic, but if you're looking at this situation, don't look at it within four walls.
Right.
There's always an option. There's always a friend with a yard, a community center with a lawn mm-hmm. or your church with space. Like, this is spring. Like, get to it.
At the very least, even if you don't want to do any of this, mm-hmm. find somebody who does.
Find somebody
in your area. Because you know what? This is what I love about the great U.S. of A. There are no food deserts here.
No.
You go from one coast to the other, you can find a sweetener, you can find protein, and you can find produce.
Even in the
Anywhere
city.
Anywhere you go.
I'm not just talking about the country.
Nope.
The cities in the last 10 years are booming with
yeah.
community gardens. Like, reach out mm-hmm. and find something. Mm-hmm.
It's so
And again,
true.
Like, Craigslist is just your bounty, man.
It's so true.
Extra raspberry bushes, extra this, extra that.
Yeah.
Need farm fresh eggs, need farm raised pork.
Right, trading for this. What you said yeah. earlier actually reminded me of an article I read earlier this week where all the people who had kind of been forced to homeschool, and God bless you, there is, mm-hmm. just so you know, there is no judgment here, because I've told you I'm a reluctant homeschooler. It was not what I was planning to do. I had years to adjust, and it's taken me mentally years to adjust. So here you are 8 weeks in. You are in a hard situation. Mm-hmm. Turns out all those parents who really started off at, you know, balls to the wall, 60 miles an hour, are like, oh, crap. This is hard and messy. And like, I'm not really sure what I'm doing. And like, okay.
Right.
Put all that away. Put away
yeah.
everything and take your children outside.
Outside.
And garden with them. Get food with them. Go talk to your farmers with them. Use this as an opportunity that you might never get again to educate them on something as fundamental as food. We don't think about it as fundamental. You know, I saw a really great meme of a guy who had on a mask and he had on gloves. And he had an entire shopping cart full of Doritos and Cheetos.
Oh, my gosh.
That
Shay,
was he.
I saw it.
He was stocking up on it from the store. Okay? I have so many
no,
things
I,
to
Shay,
say
it's
about
true.
This.
It's not even a meme. The last time I was at Costco, I went last month. And that, again, like, you're trying not to be judgmental.
I don't mean it in a judgmental way. I mean it in a,
like,
teach your children. Okay?
Mountain Dew and chips.
Right.
The entire cart being wheeled through the parking
yeah.
lot.
You're not going to need a mask, okay? Boost your immune system. Like, food does that. That's what soil does and fresh air does and good mm-hmm. food does and relaxation does. Like, it's... what?
I'm just laughing because we're totally going
I'm
off.
Sorry.
You're going to text me like at 9 o'clock tonight and you're going to be like, oh, bleak.
Stuart's
going
to listen to this
episode
and just be like, oh my gosh, you guys.
What
oh my gosh.
Are you guys
but
doing?
You know what? Part of me cares. Part of me doesn't
like,
care
look,
because.
No. And they know. They know this is what's rumbling underneath. This is why they like us.
Maybe.
Okay.
Or they don't
the ones
subscribe.
That like us. They know this is underneath. We
Thanks, Karen.
They know.
Thank you, Karen.
Thanks, Karen.
We
love
your support.
We look beyond your trash and we love you.
Oh, no, it's true. It's obviously something I'm passionate about. Not everybody is passionate mm-hmm. about food, but I tell you what, if I can put a dollar in a farmer's pocket and I can get a quality product back. And the reality is when you shop local, you are able to do that. There is a quality element of that that you just miss going to the grocery store. You can't get it. It's
okay.
just not
sure.
there.
Let's like get really, really like practical.
Okay.
What if you were like a single mom with a handful of kids and a suburban backyard and a very low income?
Okay.
What would you do right now?
I would find farmers because I'm telling you, farming's hard. Vegetable farming's hard. It's hard to learn how to grow things. It takes time. And it takes money mm-hmm. to get things set up. And, you know, homesteading is amazing, but homesteading takes money and it takes knowledge and it takes resources. So if like right now, what I would do is I would get mm-hmm. on Google and I would say, where are the farmers markets? Where's the meat? Where's the meat locally? Meat and milk would be my top two priorities.
Okay.
Because I'm less concerned about vegetables. I'm more concerned about those really rich proteins. And, you know, frankly, like the vegan meat thing, like that's a completely different episode. But I think that the majority of people really need good meat. Mm-hmm. And yes, it's more.
Especially developing children's brains.
Big time.
And, you know, your brain
big
is
time.
Mostly fat.
Yeah.
You have to have
yep.
fats. For
and that's
brain.
What I would yep. stock up on. Mm-hmm. I would stock up on the fats. So do I have butter in my fridge or do I have lard? Or I would, you know, you guys, we're not just like living these entitled lives on these ivory towers. Okay. Like there is no swamp that Angela and I haven't been through. And, you know, I remember back in the day I called butchers. I must've called dozens of them. And I was like, do you have any off cuttings? Like, do you have any off cuttings, any trimmings of fat, any trimmings of meat? And I would go and I would pick them up from these big buckets and I would take them back home and I would prepare them. I would simmer down the fat. I would use it to cook, whether it was tallow or lard or whatever. Like mm-hmm. truly where there is a will, a lot is possible. And so I would say get creative, get resourceful, you know, because not everybody is in dire straits. Okay. So.
Right.
So maybe somebody's still going to the butcher and they're still buying their filet mignon and their flank steak and XYZ. And then you can go hit up the discounted thing of stuff that expired a week ago that they froze in packages. That's totally fine.
Hello.
Bring it home.
Like expiration dates. Come on.
Yeah.
Can I just say, let go of it. Let it
yeah.
go.
We can play with produce. We can play with, you know, rice and beans. We can play with whatever right. we need to do. But if I were in that situation, my first focus would be on the fats. That's always my mm-hmm. focus on the farm. Like mm-hmm. I need my fats, my proteins in place because carrots are great and carrots can get you by, but you're not going to live on carrots.
No. So then I would like. Secondary, I would do something really bumper. Like I would till up, even with a shovel, doesn't have to be fancy, and plant like zucchini, something that's just going to keep putting out
yeah.
all summer. I would, even if you had got your hands on an extra $30, I would go to, mm-hmm. you know, I've talked about Aldi or like I would
yep.
even at some point, forget farm fresh, get yourself some eggs. Just stock up on eggs. Mm-hmm. They're not going to go bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're just not. And if you're worried about going bad, while I'm not a big like mineral oil person, you can rub them down with mineral oil and they'll last mm-hmm. forever. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I would move on to like eggs. And if you have the little backyard, like some sort of something that's going to do the bumper crop, like the zucchini, where it's just like, okay, what are we going to have tonight? We're going to have chopped up zucchini mm-hmm. with eggs.
Yep. And you know what you can live without? Sugar.
Sugar.
Sugar. You can live without sugar.
Totally.
Yep.
Please.
You can.
And please do right now.
Yeah, you can.
Because of your immune system. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you really can. I mean, when it comes down to what you actually need to eat, and I don't mean to say this in alarmist way. And I know it's might be coming across like that just because I'm really passionate, but I mean, in terms of just being able to continue to feed your family, I mean, there is no way I saw this coming 7 weeks ago. There is no way in God's green earth I saw these orders coming through. Like I'm dumbfounded, but so I don't know what the next 7 weeks is going to hold. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that's going to look like. But I know, regardless of whether we can get our hair done or whether we can go to Costco, we have to eat. You know, we have to eat. So I think you're right in that, is in planting something super prolific. And before our computer ate our YouTube video for this week.
Oh,
is there any Mac experts out there who want to come help me? I have a video that I can't get. And but it's on the food that we harvested last June, July, August, September, you know, that we're still eating on this year. And you know what? I'll tell you this. Eating a carrot that you harvested last June, and what is it now? April, right? Is it April? Okay, it's April. Mm-hmm. That's a long time. And I'll tell you, like, when you go to the store and you see those, you know, beautiful strawberries and like beautiful little plantains or whatever fritzy fruit they have there, like, it's going to be nice to look at.
You stole my word, fritzy.
Fritzy fruit. It's going to look
like
good.
From a gas pressurized warehouse.
Well, you're going to be tired of frankly, you're going to be tired of eating parsnips in April. Okay. I'm tired of cabbages, but I still have like 20 heads from last year. So, and that's what I was showing, like what we're still eating. It's parsnips, carrots, beets, cabbages, preserves, and preserved meats that we've kept over through the winter. And it's not glamorous. It is not a Starbucks Frappuccino, but you know what it is? Food. And we have, and it's stores. And like, there's a reason that this has sustained centuries of people in years past. Okay. Way before the creaturely comforts of, you know, your morning maple chia granola and such. Okay. Now I'm just getting mean. I'm so sorry, Karen.
I know we're going off about a lot of things. And so, like, pardon all that, because we really want you to be encouraged. If you're in a position where you're like, well, what am I going to do if this gets really bad in the next 3 weeks? Like, just be encouraged that you have a, God has given you a mind, and it's still kind of America.
Is it?
So you can still kind of go to the store.
I can't. Not without a mask. Thank you, Costco. Okay.
And get some things.
I want to break up with Costco.
Is it bad? I haven't been in like a month.
Well, no. I mean, our governor didn't even institute all like, you have to wear a mask if you go out in public. And we're in Washington. Mm-hmm. I mean, it ain't good here. But but Costco did. But just in general, you know, just in general, I want to do the hard work of supporting my Washingtonians with my dollars. There are people who grow almonds here and hazelnuts here and beef and milk and honey and salt and every manner of produce, anything I need. Cheese. Mm-hmm. Take my money. Please take my money. That's who I want to give it to. I'm so. Okay. One more rant and then I'll be done.
Oh, okay.
I'm so disgusted at how this has crushed the small business. That Costco can be open and sell me cheese, and yet my cheesemonger can't be open. I find atrocious. And right now, you know, some of them, they're getting creative. God bless them. They are American ingenuity at its best. Like,
hey, I got to tell you, here in Wisconsin, the bars are open on the out on the street. What? You can just pull up in front of the Mink River Basin and you can get yourself a drink out on the curb.
Heck yeah. Give me a just little 7-7. Drink it on the go.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about drinking and driving. I'm just talking about they have like moved the operation outside.
It's that is hysterical. American ingenuity, man.
I love it.
I'm like, get it.
When I see like deer hunters, you know, sitting out there running the bar, like, yeah. Hey.
When you see like the small little Honda Civic with like a mattress tied to the top and like pulling a trailer with three donkeys in it, you know, and like skis coming out the windows, I'm like, hell yeah. Get it.
Like when we moved here.
Exactly.
That's what our truck looked like when we moved here.
I love that about America.
Rooster crowing in a minivan when we pulled in at the gas station.
Like, you get it. And that's why America has such this, it really does have a beautiful small business culture. And I'll be damned if I'm going to watch that just crumble. I will give you all of my monies. And I was like this before, but this has taken it like to the nth degree where I'm like, okay, no matter what
time
it
takes.
I'm going
to just still come at it from like this devil's advocate, like single mom. With the multiple kids. Like share, like I totally love that. And maybe last year, you know, the farmer's market was her priority. And now it's just like, okay, how am I going to get like my hands on some food?
Yeah.
Because I've been in that position where I'm like, look, I'm just going to surrender and I'm going to go to the cheap grocery store and I'm going to stack up on all the things that are like on the perimeter of the
cheap
store.
Food
the
is a farce.
Things.
Cheap food is a farce. And for two reasons. A, you're talking about if you're talking about nutritional content, then cheap food such as Cheetos or Doritos or boxed cereal or pop.
No, that's why I said the perimeter of the store. Okay. I'm saying you're going to.
But then that enters an entirely new realm of government subsidy. Because cheap food really is a fabrication. If the government didn't subsidize the big three, this would not be possible. And she would be forced to feed her children, just like it has been in generations past, the odd cuts of meat, you know, and the stale bread, maybe. I mean, I'm going way back to like centuries ago.
Yeah.
I'm thinking like, you know, Little Women or something. But but it was this, it was not, it was peasant food, what they called peasant food. It was not cheap food that destroyed their immune systems. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just, you know, I know that there we have listeners that are 70 miles from a farmer, you know, so I'm still wanting to be pragmatic on their behalf. Like what are they doing? They have a little tiny square of a backyard. They're 70 miles from a farmer. What are they doing? There's still some, it's not ideal. There's still some element of nutrition. Don't eat processed food. Don't eat boxed food. Good gracious. Don't load your cart up with Doritos. It's so expensive and it's just going to deteriorate your immune system.
We've talked about that before. Like there is nothing wrong with going to the store and getting your bag of rice and your bag of beans and your cheap produce, things that are really inexpensive, like cabbages and carrots and celery and potato. There is nothing wrong with that at all.
That's what I'm talking about.
But what I'm saying is, that's where I would start. And I think that's, honestly, I think that's even without really realizing it, that's where the American public is going. That's why dried beans are sold out everywhere and flour is sold out everywhere because people are realizing, hey, that like, what's the fruit, like the Buddha hand or Buddha fruit? What's it called? You know what I'm talking about? It's like the yellow little fingers. It looks like Buddha fingers. Anyway, like,
I'm sorry.
Probably not going to be selling a lot of those right now. Okay, probably not.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the reality. So we enjoy having these things that are ready in our pomegranate juice. And isn't that lovely? And yes, it is. It is lovely. But in a time like this, people go for toilet paper and beans and rice and salt.
And Doritos.
God. Tragic. Tragic. Okay, that was, I'm sorry, listeners. That was... Well, sorry, not sorry.
I think it was great. You can like either vehemently disagree with us and just be thoroughly entertained because entertainment comes in disagreement for sure.
Yes.
Or you can be encouraged. Or yes. Maybe there's one little nugget that you can take out next week.
Yes.
Or whatever.
Yep.
It's our show.
We won't have a show if nobody listens.
They'll
it's better
listen.
Than being squishy. I don't like squishy people.
Better than milk toast. Milk toast makes you gay.
That's true. We can disagree.
That's like a good piece of steak.
Disagree with flavor and flair. I'll do that all day, salt. Son.
I got to tell you, like 5 weeks ago, I bought a lot of salt. I'm like, well, let me see. Yeah. What don't I want to run out
okay,
of?
Okay, can I? Salt. I'm going to do a little plug here. Not a sponsor at all. We have.
Not yet.
The most.
Not yet.
No. They're so small. We have the most amazing local salt off of the coast of Washington called San Juan Island Sea Salt. He's fabulous. His name is Brady. It's just like a, you know, mom and pop kind of a salt place. They just literally pull it from the ocean and they sun dry it and it's fabulous. And I love them. So if you need salt, it is so flavorful and so good. Check them out. San Juan Island Sea Salt. I love them. Yes, I buy the 5 pound bags. And just yesterday, I bought a bunch of my low sugar pectin because we do all our preserves with honey from the hives.
Your preserves?
I do all my preserves with honey. It's so good. And
I need that. I hate buying those dumb little packets at the store. That makes me angry.
This one you can buy with a half pound or by the pound. I'm like, give it to me.
Hello.
Give it to me, baby.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you got, like a tech guy there?
I don't know. I got a little cute guy in who snuck into my office, wrapping all his cords around me. I'm not sure what's happening right now, but I like it.
And that would be...
And that, ladies, is the end of the show. Shay's...
Cheers!
Shay's going to go now. Oh, a big thank you to our sponsors, jovialfoods.com. Do go check them out for all of your einkorn and olive oil and tomatoes and beans and all the yummy bread making stuff. And of course, check out American Blossom Linens and make sure you use the coupon code HOMEMAKERCHIC20 so you can get those fabulous sheets for 20% off.
And then for sure, tag us on Instagram so we can see your new bedding.
Yes, please do. I have been a little slacky on the Instagram. I'm super sorry.
You're fired.
That okay. Can I still record the next episode?
Sure, I guess.
Okay, lovely.
We are growing up as podcasters, and so from now on, feel free to scroll down wherever you're watching, Stitcher, you're listening,
I don't even know
Stitcher,
what that is.
Google. Apple, but there's all these places where our podcast is. Buzzsprout.
I don't know.
So scroll down for the show notes because now we are going to provide you with all the grown-up things that a podcaster should, like links and references and all that jazz.
Yes.
Everything.
You know, when you talked about growing up, it made me think about how you were talking into the back of your microphone for five episodes. I don't know, the whole season. So,
okay, first of
we
all,
we are learning. All right.
I can see your roots.
Oh, shut up. And they're called roots, not roots.
They're roots here in the Midwest. They're roots. We drink kombucha and them are roots.
Listen,
wait,
anybody was listening to this who will come to my house and bleach my hair, for the love of God, I will give you all my money.
All her salt.
I'll give you at least a pound of salt.
I don't even remember what I was saying.
Good. Was not important anyway.
It was. It was super important. Important. Rats.
So sorry.
What was I saying?
We were talking about talking into the back of your mic.
Oh, I was saying my profound apologies to Karen and the feminists are gone. And so, but like for the last 4 episodes, my microphone has been facing backwards. So I'm a turd, and I confess, and it doesn't say front, but it does say back, but it's like black font on a black microphone, and I never saw it. So when I moved my office upstairs, I switched my microphone to the left side, and
we are so
for weeks,
good.
We're like, what is wrong with your audio? It's just so bad. So for those of you that put up with my horrible audio, and I noticed last week, I go like this before everything I say.
listening to yourself.
Stuart doesn't apparently want to edit all that out. So it sounds like I'm a whale coming up for air every time I say something. So
I wish sometimes he would cut me out because you're talking. I'm like, oh, so true. So true. That's so true.
As if what each other isn't what we're each saying isn't relevant unless we're like mumbling prayers in the background. Amen, sister. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You know, like,
so true.
Good word. So true. Good word,
yes,
preacher.
Yes.
So true.
Good stuff, ladies. Thank you so much for joining us.
You know what? And visit us over on Patreon, because right before we recorded this podcast, we just hung out with all our fangirls. So
it was so good.
Join us on Patreon. And when
maybe
you
that's
do,
why we're raging going, right now, because of that. We came off of that hot, you know.
When you do, there is a very special photograph of Shay and I as old ladies.
Stop it! And that was unnecessary.
She didn't know I put that on there. But for what it's worth, I'm in my husband's painting t-shirt with no makeup, and so I look really, really bad. And she is in full makeup, and she looks like not
maybe
much
I'm just
worse.
A chic old lady.
Disturbing.
Maybe I'm just a chic old lady.
Mm-hmm. Your roots. You have no roots in the picture.
Don't even say that word.
Roots.
I'm going away.
So head on over to Patreon. And when you become a patron, not only are you going to get a copy of each of our cookbooks, digital version, you're also going to get to see what we look like, you know, 40 years from now.
God help
us. So that's just your freebie. You're welcome.
I'm leaving this conversation.
Okay, so we'll all regroup on Monday.
Yes.
It's been a great freestyle Thursday.
Hopefully, some will come back Monday. Cheers.
Hopefully. Cheers.